today as we come to the table.
Be ready and prepared when the opportunity arises. Be prepared and ready when the opportunity arises. The Lord put himself in a position where the gospel could be shared, but he was ready. No doubt as they were traveling there, he was praying, "Now, Lord, you know I'm going to run into this woman. You fill me with your spirit. Give me the words to say. Help me to lead her to you." And Jesus praying, although he was God, he was still fully a man who had laid down a lot of his divine rights. He needed God's power. He needed God's help as well from heaven. And so he needed to be ready when this happened. And so, again, if we're not ready, then we're not going to know what to do. I think a lot of times we get in these situations and we freeze up.
Rather than ignore people because of their background or ethnicity, Jesus went straight to people who needed to hear the gospel. What a good example Jesus is for us today when we're sharing the good news of the gospel with others. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Just like Jesus stretched his disciples to help them realize that they needed to share the good news with everyone, Jesus wants to stretch you to be open and willing to share the truth of God's word with those he brings in your path. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you that Jesus will give you power through the Holy Spirit to share the good news with others. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 4, as he teaches us the principles of evangelism.
In John chapter 4, looking today at principles of evangelism. So this is kind of evangelism month. So as I said, we're going to be looking at practical steps of how to share our faith and hopefully give some ideas of ways you can do it and a couple things that I have done and that maybe will be helpful to you. You know, there's no set method. It's not, here's the way you have to do it, and if you follow these steps, but it's good to have a little bit of a template. And I say, all right, what are some of the principles? What are some of the basics of how I begin to share my faith? And you'll be surprised. If you step out, and I want to encourage you guys, if you step out and begin to share your faith, you're going to find that you're not going to be afraid. You're going to be bold. And it actually becomes fun as you begin to do it. You look for opportunities, and God starts opening up doors, and you see people either rededicating or giving their life to the Lord. And again, it's kind of a time for new resolutions. Now, last time, if you remember, we saw Jesus with Nicodemus in chapter 3, and Nicodemus was this religious man who you would think had everything together in the sense of who he was in the Lord, and that was at the beginning of John chapter 3, not really the last time we met, but there's a contrast between the experience with John and now this one with this woman at the well, because John was a man who supposedly was a righteous man, and he wasn't because he didn't know the Lord. She is known to be an unrighteous woman, and yet Jesus is going to show her how to be righteous. And the cool thing to me is he loves them both. It doesn't matter where you are. Jesus loves you exactly where you are, and he reaches everyone where they are. We saw that he reached Nicodemus where Nicodemus was. Now we're going to see he reaches this woman where she is, and he gives that as an example to us of how we're to be in reaching people for the Lord. Here's another thing. Pray that God gives you a heart for the lost. It's easy for me to get tangled up in my own life and forget about the world around me. That happens all too often. And so it's passages like this that make me say, God, this year, help me to remember people around me. Help me to be mindful of those who need the gospel. And again, it's not about running around and being obnoxious and being in everyone's face, but it's looking for opportunities and saying, God, you show me when the time is right. You open up the door. God, you do what you want to do. And as I said, hopefully as we go through this, there's some things that that we'll see here in the passage that will help us in sharing our faith. So it jumps in here in chapter 4. Now the scene is changing where the Lord is now going to begin to move his ministry back up north. And it says in chapter 4, verse 1, then when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. but he needed to go through Samaria. Now, there's several things to note here. First of all, remember last time we said he himself didn't do the baptizing. He had other people do the baptizing, and he didn't want to be there baptizing and keep it going on because large crowds were being drawn, and he wasn't really ready to spend his time fighting with the Pharisees. There's a time for that battle. There's a time that's not for that battle. This was not a time for that battle. So the Lord said, we're leaving because now the Pharisees see us doing it and they're going to start coming and harassing us the way they did John and his disciples. And we're not into that right now. Right now we want to get the ministry started, spread the gospel. And yes, we'll baptize when the opportunities are there, but it's the gospel that's most important. And so the Lord, again, as we said, though, didn't baptize himself. And why didn't he do that? And this brings us to our first principle of evangelism. The reason the Lord didn't baptize himself is he reserved a specific baptism for himself. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not that the Lord didn't want us to be baptized in water. He does. That's an act of obedience. But Jesus specifically set himself aside for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And remember, John announced that. John said, I come to baptize in water, but one coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to loose, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you the power that you need for ministry. I'm going to be the one to do that. And if you're going to be my witnesses, number one, you've got to have power. So if you're a note taker, the first principle of evangelism is ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Ask God to baptize you with his Holy Spirit. Now, if I told you to go out today and to drive your car to Florida, but you didn't put any gas in it, you would say, you're crazy. I can't go to Florida. I can't. There's no gas in it. I'll never get there. That's the same thing as me saying to you, go out and evangelize. But don't take the Holy Spirit. Don't be filled up. Don't put any spiritual fluid in your tank. Because if you don't put spiritual fluid in your tank, you will not be able to drive the way God has called you to drive, and you will not be driven to share the gospel, nor will you have the power to get there. And I think a lot of Christians fall short in this very first place. That is spending time in the Word, time in prayer, and starting the day out saying, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Simply ask him. So that you can receive that power and you'll find that power comes. It doesn't mean the lights are going to flash or some tingly will come. You just ask him and you let God fill you and then you go out in his name. God will give you the power that you need. But it's the first thing you've got to have if you're going to be an evangelist or do evangelism for the Lord. And let me say this. You guys probably heard me say this more than you want to, but I'm not gifted with evangelism, but we're still all called to do the work of an evangelist, aren't we? Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And what that means is, even if you don't feel that you've got a gift of evangelism, because I've heard people say, well, I don't have a gift of evangelism. Well, I don't either, and I'm your pastor. But you hear me from time to time, and you'll hear me again today say, if you want to give your life to Jesus, here's how you do it. Why? Because it may not be something where the Spirit flows through me and hordes of people come forward and they, whatever, like these guys that are great evangelists, but it's still an opportunity for those who want to receive the Lord. My gift is the gift of teaching. And so the bottom line is I teach you the Word of God. And what I love about that is even as I teach the Word of God, God's Word is so inherently powerful that people give their life to the Lord. I mean, you guys don't know all the times. I think in the last 2 weeks, we've had two people give their life to the Lord. That may not seem like much. But these are people that don't do it during the service. They come up afterward and say, I want to pray. I want to give my life to the Lord. It's simply hearing the Word of God. So as you go and share the Word of God and you give people the opportunity, more come into the kingdom. And remember, with 12 disciples, the Lord changed the entire world. I know Judas fell, but God replaced him with Paul. But with those 12 disciples, the entire world was changed. So if you lead one or two people to the Lord, you're doing an amazing work for the kingdom. But a lot of times, none of us lead anyone to the Lord because we're not doing what it takes. And that is, again, number one, asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and then recognizing there's a need. And notice here what it says about Jesus in verse 4. It says, but he needed to go through Samaria. Why? Because there were people there who needed the gospel. They needed to hear about Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Everybody needs to hear about Jesus. I know that. I recognize that. But the difference is here is there were people there who knew they needed. They were hungry. They needed something. God recognized they would respond. And so now he's moving in Jesus' spirit to go there. Because they need to be reached for the gospel, and when they hear it, they're going to be reached for the gospel. Now, this is especially interesting when you think about who the Samaritans were to the Jews. And I really can't think of a good example for you today because there really isn't anyone that Americans necessarily hate. Now, we know we've got people that don't like certain people groups. We know that. There's racial issues and all kinds of different issues that go on in America, so I'm not blinded to that. My point is simply saying this. We don't really have another country or another people that we hate as a people group the way the Jews did the Samaritans. The Jews as a nation hated the Samaritan people as a people. and they had nothing to do with them. Now, why is that? Here's kind of the history of the Samaritans. What happened was about 700 BC, 721 BC, Assyria came in and took the 10 tribes that were in the northern part of Israel and took them away and scattered them around the world, and they brought Assyrians in. And they replaced them with Assyrians. They're in the middle part of Israel, what we call today Samaria. By the way, if you want to get kind of a mindset of where that is today, it's the area they call the West Bank. That region is known as the Samaria region. And they brought Assyrians in there, but they left the poor Jews in place because the poor, they felt, well, we won't harass them. We'll let them get a new fresh start or whatever. They intermarried with these Assyrians that came in, and a whole new people group started, and the Jews saw them as half-breeds. You're half Samaritan, or you're half Assyrian, you're half Jew, you're a Samaritan in the Samaritan region. We want nothing to do with you because you're not pure Jewish people, and they weren't pure to their religion, which they were very, very focused in on their faith system. I mean, they hated them so much, they didn't talk to Samaritans. They avoided at all costs traveling through Samaria. They certainly wouldn't, you know, eat any Samaritan food or be a part of anything they did. You'd be considered unclean if you did that or go into a Samaritan home. As a matter of fact, if you were to accidentally touch a Samaritan, you were to go home and burn your clothes. That's how much the Jews hated them. So it's hard to give us an example of a people group that we can imagine that way. We don't have that, thank the Lord. Although there are, as we said, some divisions, but not to the division that we had here of Samaria. And so this would have been a huge shocker and surprise to the disciples who the Lord was saying, you know, I've got to go through this area, follow me. And rather than travel around and go a couple days longer, which most Jews would do, Jesus goes right down the heart of Samaria. And there were two reasons for this. One, there were those that needed to hear the gospel that he knew would respond. He loves all people. He wants to reach all people. But number two, and note this, he wants to stretch us that we can reach all people as well. Listen, I don't know what your upbringing was. In the South, it is possible you were raised in a prejudiced home. That's possible because we live in the South and we know that it exists. But as believers, there's no place for it. As believers, we are to love everyone, and not only love everyone, we're to go to everyone in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter their background, their color, what nation, what their even their religion. None of this matters as believers, and God will work in your life to stretch you beyond that. He's going to put you in situations where you've got to grow past it. And so if you're struggling with that, then you need to say to God, then God, forgive me of my wrong heart. Give me an open heart to reach everyone and to love everyone, whether it be a Samaritan or not. Because Jesus is now stretching the disciples, taking them into Samaria so they can learn this lesson. And again, at the same time, spreading the gospel. He needed to go. He didn't want to go. He needed to go because there was a divine appointment for the people of Samaria. And notice it says in verse 5, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So this goes way back. Jacob's well is still identifiable today. When we're going to see him get to Jacob's well, it's still, they know exactly. This is one of the few places that we know exactly where this happened because it's the only well that's there. We know that well. And again, this is where he goes in now to reach her and to kind of get in position. And it says, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Now, you would go and sit by a well because when you traveled, you didn't have any bucket to get the water with. So you would wait till someone came to the well, and then they could lower their bucket down and get you some water, and you'd be able to get water out of the well. So the Lord here is positioning himself in a place where he can be used by the Lord. It brings us to our next principle. Number one, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. But the next principle is be ready and prepared when the opportunity arises. Be prepared and ready when the opportunity arises. The Lord put himself in a position where the gospel could be shared, but he was ready. No doubt as they were traveling there, he was praying. Now, Lord, you know I'm going to run into this woman. You fill me with your spirit. Give me the words to say. Help me to lead her to you. And Jesus praying, although he was God, he was still fully a man who had laid down a lot of his divine rights. He needed God's power. He needed God's help as well from heaven. And so he needed to be ready when this happened. And so, again, if we're not ready, then we're not going to know what to do. I think a lot of times we get in these situations and we freeze up. You ever had somebody kind of bring something up about spiritual things and you don't know what to say? You kind of freeze up because you're not prepared. But if you spend time in the Word and prayer in the morning and say, God, fill me with your Spirit, make me ready, and just show me what to do. When God puts you in that place, you're going to know what to do. He'll begin to lead you. But if we're not having that mindset, we're not going to be ready to go and studied up to do this. You know, even as Jesus meets her at the well here, maybe there's going to be a divine encounter at the water cooler. You know, it's break time and you're in the break room. And they come in there. Next thing you know, you're talking about something, and all of a sudden the opportunity arises to share. You need to be ready. And so Again, it doesn't have to be scary. It can be very normal and natural. And that's one of the things we're going to see in this. Jesus gives us an example of very normal and natural evangelism. You know, there's one thing I never was good at. I never was good at sales. You know, and the cold call thing, going up, and I'm not one to beat around the bush, and you just kind of go up and boom, here's what it is. I want to sell this, and you know, whatever. Never worked good for me as far as that goes. And you might be saying, well, I'm not good at that either. So the cold call sale, I can't just go out and sell Jesus. You're not selling Jesus. You're simply sharing him. And you do it in a very natural way. And that's exactly what we're going to see the Lord does here. And notice what happens in verse 7. It says, a woman of Samaria came and drew water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now, notice this very natural approach. It's very obvious, very natural, natural conversation. Here we are at a well. Hey, give me a drink of water. That is, the next principle is, the third thing, Jesus started a normal conversation under the circumstances. Just begin to look for normal conversations. People are going to say, as you're talking with them, wow, can you believe what's going on in the Middle East? Wow, can you believe what happened with Israel? Wow, can you believe about the election or whatever? And whatever the case might be, and of course, you might want to keep it away from politics as much as possible so they'll listen to you, but you can use world examples and things, yeah, you know what? Well, the Bible says, or hey, what do you think about that? Or did you know that it talks about it in Scripture? There are ways to work it in a very natural way where you can start a conversation. And that's what the Lord does here. He simply takes the situation of the well and the water and begins to talk about it, and then the Lord leads it from there. And guys, I want you to know this. I have seen God do that. When I will simply step out and pray and say, God, open up a door. You know, how can I share? What is it I can do? God will do that, and then it's just a very natural, smooth conversation. And so we need to be doing that. And I'll give you one example. I don't do this all the time. I've done it from time to time, but I think it is an effective way. When the time is right, you want to make sure you do it the right way, but I'll give you an example of maybe one way you can share. We did this recently. I know Ebo and I were somewhere, and we did this recently with someone. The waiter comes up, or the waitress comes up, and it's like you're talking to them. You get their name. Hey, Joe, what's your name? Whatever. And you're talking to them, and all of a sudden, it's kind of like, well, hey, can I pray for you about anything? Once they get your order, I'm like, can we pray? We're going to pray, you know, for the meal. Can we pray for you? You'd be surprised how people respond to that. It's like, well, yeah. And sometimes they'll go into this long thing about, well, you know, it started all back when I was a child. You know, and you want to be careful that the people around you don't get mad, you know, that you go too long. You know, you don't want to pray right then necessarily because they may be waiting on their food and you're over praying with their waiter. But just say, you know, we're going to pray for that. And then they go, and when you pray for the meal, you lift them up to the Lord. And so already you've made a connection. They're thinking, wow, this person cares about me. They brought God up and they prayed for me. And then you leave, you say, hey, you know, God bless you. Hey, want to invite you to Calvary Chapel or whatever the case might be. There's opportunities, very natural, normal ways that aren't weird that you don't have to be scared about. People appreciate that. And especially a waiter or waitress, if you do that, they're not going to be mean to you because they want their tip. So if you're afraid, well, they'll be mean to me. Well, then don't tip them. No, I'm kidding. But if you are going to give them something, if you are going to give them a card or share something, guys, I know we say this, you've probably heard it over, make sure you tip well. Make sure you tip well, because if you tell them about how much Jesus loves them and you throw a buck down for a $100 meal, they're going to go, yeah, okay, those Christians. See what I'm saying? So you might want to look at your wallet before you share, but either way, make sure that you don't do something that's going to bring reproach on this. Now, there's something else to note here that I find is because multiple things going on here. Not only are we seeing principles of evangelism, but look what the Lord is doing in the evangelist, the future evangelist's life. He sent them into town to get food. Mark, what do you mean? Hey, they didn't go among Samaritans. Look at all the rules Jesus is breaking. Not only did we come to Samaria, I want you to go into Samaria and buy food from the Samaritans and bring the food back. That would, in their mind, would have defiled them. And so God is now stretching them and bringing them beyond their cultural barriers that block them. And guys, we have to guard ourselves that we don't let cultural barriers block us. I think one of the biggest ones we face today is the Muslim community. It's amazing to me when you talk about reaching Muslims, there seems to be a lot of fear in people's hearts. Well, I'm afraid they'll hurt me. What if they do something to me? And we see radical Islam in the Middle East. We understand what's going on there. But Jesus loves them. He wants to reach them. And so what we have to do is say, all right, God, how do I reach them? And we need to not be afraid. God will give us courage. Be courageous. Reach them. You'd be surprised. A lot of them are very hungry. They've never seen the love of God. All they know is a very hard God. When you read Allah in the Quran, he's very, very hard. He's very mean. And you don't know, even if you live your whole life right, you may or you may not get into heaven. We have a very different God to offer them. He's a God that makes it available to all through the cross and through his son, Jesus Christ. We can show them that love. And we've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to reach out and again, take that step. So there are some ways we can apply this to our own lives and the people around us. But we need to make sure that we're not afraid to do that and afraid to reach them. We need to pray for that courage from the Lord. And so, again, especially if we're going to go into all the world and reach them for the gospel, because that's what we're called to do. Jesus wants us reaching everyone. And notice what happens here. It says in verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Now, those two things together were huge. Not only a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. And notice she says, for the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Number one, they had no dealings with the Samaritans. They hated them. And number two, she was a woman. Now understand, guys, in that culture, men did not even speak to women in public. That was the culture. Very oppressive. In the Middle East, you know what it's like still today. They've got to cover their heads, sometimes cover their entire face. There are certain things women can't do. That's exactly what was going on then. That's still going on today in many circles, which, by the way, I'll just make this as a passing note. If you don't think Christianity has not elevated the woman, you don't understand Christianity. Because all the nations where Jesus is lifted up and all the nations where Christianity is, women are raised up to their proper place, which is equality with the man. Yes, we know there's order. We understand the order and God's structure. But when you go to places without Jesus, women are pushed down and they're abused. That's exactly what was happening here. And she's saying, look, first of all, you're talking to me. I thought I wasn't worthy to be talked to. And number two, I'm a Samaritan. You guys have nothing to do with Samaritans. Why are you doing this? And she's about to find out that Jesus is not just like any other man. He loves her. And he's going to give his life for her in the future and share with her the good news. And again, this is our example of how we're supposed to be. And I think she's even shocked. Why would you do this? And I think sometimes when we share with certain people, they may be shocked that we love them. We need to show them that love. And look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. In other words, it wouldn't be me asking you for something that's earthly and temporary. You'd be asking me for something that's eternal because I offer you spiritual water from heaven. And notice what the Lord has done. It brings us to the fourth and next principle or step in evangelism, and that is Jesus gently turns the conversation from earthly things to spiritual. He looks for that opportunity, just a very normal conversation. I think some of my best evangelism, I've shared this with you guys before, is when I'm getting my hair cut. And I'll get my hair cut. It's you got a captive audience, and they always ask me, what do you do, you know? And you know, once you let the cat out of the bag, you know, pretty much there it goes. And then, but it opens up the door. Well, where do you go to church? You know, and sometimes, well, I do go or I don't go or this, whatever. And it just opens up a very natural door and not anything forceful, just very comfortable. And, you know, I always hope that they don't rush, you know, and I think probably on the Sunday mornings that they do, you can tell. So Mark was sharing this week, I can tell from looking at him. But the bottom line is it gives you an opportunity to just gently turn it to things of the Spirit. Because you sit down, hey, how are you? Good to have you busy today and all that. And you're just talking, just normal conversation. And there it goes. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, it's like, well, you know, my grandmother used to take us to church and we were raised and all. And I got divorced and things have been really hard and I have this and I'm not really going anywhere right now, whatever. And just, hey, I'd like to invite you. I'd like to invite you to Calvary Chapel. And you know what? If you can't come or you want to find out what we're like, I know that a lot of churches are different. Check us out on, you know, 101.1. It's on every you know, day, 12 o'clock and 11 o'clock at night. Listen to the message and hear what's happening and you'll find out who we are. It's a way you can open up a door to reach them and they can listen. And a lot of people want to know, what is your church like? What do you believe? Well, you turn to the radio station. They can listen to it if they're in an area they can pick it up. But either way, those that can listen to it. These are natural ways for evangelism. They're natural ways to share with people and encourage them. And, again, this is exactly what the Lord is doing. Very naturally, turn the eyes and notice he said, I'm going to offer you not just earthly water, but living water, which means moving water or water that's alive. It's something that's not just temporary. It's something that's eternal.
The Gospel of John is home to one of the most well-known verses ever, John 3:16. It gives you the message of hope right there in one sentence. God sent his son to save the world. But the next verse, verse 17, is also significant. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Pastor Mark has something to say about this too.
Yes, Greg, I think you need to know that your life isn't a surprise to Jesus. Maybe you've been feeling like you're too far down the wrong path to turn around, or maybe you're afraid God's going to punish you for all you've done. That verse is there to give you hope. God didn't send Jesus to condemn you. In fact, Jesus' death on the cross forgives all your mistakes and failures. He's enough.
And all you need to do is come to Him and hand over your sin. Would you like to talk to someone about this? Please call us. We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 865-609-1385. Or reach out to us through the About Us section on PastorMarkKirk.com. Never forget that His mercies are new every morning. And I'm excited you're ready to start a new life today. And know that I'm praying for you.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. And with that, we're out of time. But Pastor Mark has more verses to share with us from the book of John. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.